please don't touch the microphone. Ms. Kaluza.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. Christina Kaluza on behalf of the appellant, Ms. Veronica Das. In this case, the defendant, Principal Paula Jeske, came to a number of forks in the road where she had the opportunity to make a decision that would affect Ms. Das's teaching position at Pablo Casals Elementary School. Each time, Principal Jeske exercised her discretion, and then she made the decision that was against Ms. Das. This case is about why Ms. Jeske made the decisions that she did, what motivated those decisions, and whether she was motivated by her discrimination up towards Ms. Das's national origin, or whether she was motivated by her by some other, you know, legitimate non-discriminatory reason. The five pieces of evidence that I'd like to discuss today are the following: the May 3rd, 2006 conference between Principal Jeske and Ms. Das, Principal Jeske's unusually strong and aggressive opposition to Ms. Das's reinstatement at Casals in the fall of 2006, Principal Jeske's refusal to place Ms. Das in the open third grade classroom at that time and her insistence on placing her in the unruly seventh grade class, Principal Jeske's direction of her assistant principal to then observe Ms. Das's seventh grade classroom only days after she formally took over that classroom, and finally, her decision to recommend Ms. Das for non-renewal at the end of the 2006-2007 school year. On May 3rd, 2006, following an observation of Ms. Das's fifth grade classroom, Principal Jeske met with Ms. Das to discuss her performance. And during this meeting, Principal Jeske suggests to Ms. Das that she go to the north side and start looking for a new job there where the Indian students go. Following this meeting in May, Principal Jeske then did everything in her power to prevent Ms. Das from teaching at Pablo Casals. That fall, the fall of 2006, when she learned from the board that Ms. Das would be returning to Casals to teach that fall, rather than accepting that she would be returning to the school, Principal Jeske sent 14 different emails to six different board members at all different times of the day, including 1 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday night, vigorously opposing her reinstatement at Casals, despite the fact that she had a valid grievance. These emails included things such as, if Das truly is a Pat, I should have simply been able to non-renew her. Believe me, I've tried everything possible to do so. Furthermore, in another email, she stated, I was assured by one of the board members personally that since Ms. Das was being displaced due to seniority, I had nothing to worry about. You need to find her a position at another school. In another email, she had to apologize to a board member for her abrupt tone on the phone, and this just goes to show her unusually strong and aggressive opposition to Ms. Das returning to Casals in the fall. Once Ms. Das did return to the school, Ms. Jeske was then faced with the decision of where to place her at the school. When she was going to be reinstated, there was only a single spot that was open at that time, and it was for a third grade class that had recently opened due to increased enrollment in the school. However, rather than place Ms. Das in this third grade classroom, which Ms. Jeske knew she was well suited to teach, as she had previously taught third grade 2 different years at Casals and had received excellent evaluations both times, instead she moved Aaron Yost, a teacher who was currently teaching a seventh grade science class, into and who had no previous experience teaching third grade, into that third grade classroom. She did this because she knew that the seventh grade classroom that she was moving Ms. Yost from was incredibly unruly. There were established discipline problems in that class. The assistant principal testified that both of the two teachers, Carla Miller and Aaron Yost, who took over that seventh grade class, had experienced discipline problems, and furthermore, that older students tend to have more discipline problems, and the discipline problems tend to be more serious with older students. Knowing this, Principal Jeske decided to place Ms. Das in that seventh grade classroom. We submit that this was the first materially adverse employment decision that was made against Ms. Das based on her origin. This court has specifically stated that materially adverse employment actions are broadly defined and that they're not limited to situations where there's a quantifiable loss of benefits, compensation, things like that. We submit that this situation fits into the third category of adverse employment actions that this court has recognized because it was a significant negative alteration of her workplace environment.
But Jeske had a justification for it. It was because the third grade and the seventh grade were different. One was a bridge year, one was not, and there's no evidence that that was a lie.
There is no evidence, and we're not proceeding under the indirect method here. We're not necessarily needing to completely rebut the fact that the different reasons that she suggested, they may have been plausible reasons. She certainly gave a number of reasons for making the decision that she did, but that's not really the issue here. I mean, we have set forth evidence that this was a materially adverse decision that, well, you know, when you look at the facts in the light most favorable to Ms. Das, it would have made sense to place Ms. Das into the third grade classroom that she was well suited to teach. We're not making a claim that this was necessarily a preference of teaching. It was more the idea that she specifically and intentionally placed her into an unruly seventh grade classroom where she knew that it was very likely that by all counts Ms. Das would fail. And in fact, after she started teaching there, Ms. Das went to Ms. Jeske and said, I am having problems with discipline. Help me. Give me some support here. And Ms. Jeske responded, if you can't handle the behavior problems, you should go ahead and quit. It's just more evidence that she knew that this was a situation that would likely cause Ms. Das to fail and remove her from the school. Following her placement in the seventh grade classroom, only days after she formally took over this class, Principal Jeske then sent her assistant principal in to formally observe this classroom three different times in a single day. This was completely unprecedented. It had never been done before, and the assistant principal testified that he had never before in his time as an assistant principal been directed by a principal to go observe a teacher within the first 2 weeks of teaching that classroom.
Could you address the defendant's response to that information, which is that there had been a change in the collective bargaining agreement?
There definitely had been, but there is also no evidence in the record that any other teacher was treated this way. Although Jeske certainly had the discretion and the right to direct her assistant principal to go and observe, you know, the second day, the third day, you know, very soon after they took over the classroom, there's no evidence that she treated anybody else like this. And there's also no reason to say that this wasn't also evidence of her, you know, animus or bias towards Ms. Das's national origin. Once again, it certainly is plausible that she felt that she wanted to go in and give some support and send somebody in there, but that's really for a jury to decide what the real motivation was for sending the principal in at that time. Finally, at the end of the school year in 2006-2007, Principal Jeske had the opportunity to decide whether or not to recommend Ms. Das for renewal or for non-renewal. At that point, it was her first opportunity to make this recommendation, and she immediately chose to recommend her non-renewal to the board. Ms. Das was then non-renewed.
Oops. Could you help me just with the timeline? November of 06, Ms. Das is assigned to the seventh grade.
Correct.
Fairly soon after that, she goes on leave.
She does, and I can kind of walk you the whole timeline if you don't mind if I take step back.
Okay. I'm not sure that I need the whole timeline,
sure.
But just... when did she go on leave?
She went on leave at the beginning of December. She took over the classroom. There's a little bit of dispute.
Did she return to the school that school year?
She did not. She was informed that she was non-renewed while she was out on medical leave. That's correct. The district court correctly heard that her non-renewal was undoubtedly did constitute a materially adverse employment decision. And we submit that in sum, if you look at the evidence in its totality, as the court must do, that a reasonable trier of fact could find that Ms. Das had suffered a materially adverse employment decision that was based on Ms. Jeske's discriminatory bias towards Ms. Das's national origin. We therefore respectfully request that the court reverse the defendant's granting a summary judgment and remand for trial on her national origin discrimination claim. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Ms. Loader.
Judges, counsel. I'm just going to go talk to you about two main points. Why would Mrs. Jeske put her in the third grade rather than the seventh grade? And why would she send AP Bonomino into the classroom to observe? First, I want you to look at just the undisputed facts about third grade. When Mrs. Das came to Casale, she had already been teaching for 10 years in the Chicago Public Schools. She was placed in a second grade class, and then Mrs. Jeske's predecessor, Ms. Donaldson, said she needed a lot of help. She sent in an experienced teacher to help her. She provided extra training to her. The second year she was there, she was teaching third grade. Mrs. Donaldson said, you need to take control of your classroom. Third year she was there, teaching third grade again. Mrs. Donaldson, let's just talk about what Ms. Das said. Ms. Das said she couldn't control, that there were students in the third grade that she couldn't control that year. AP Bonomino had to go into the classroom because of her discipline problems that year. He said he tried to tell her, you've got to establish rapport with your students. You have to get some routines in effect. And she said, Ms. Das said he helped her, quote, a lot. We also have Mr. Candelario, who is quite a fan of Mrs. Das. And he said that 40% of the discipline problems in the school came from Ms. Das. All of these problems, these undisputed facts, came before Ms. Jeske ever stepped foot in Casale's school. And then Ms. Donaldson, at the end of that year, decided that she wasn't going to renew Ms. Doss. She said she'd never been a good disciplinarian. So those are the undisputed facts that have nothing to do with Ms. Jeske at all. The next year, Ms. Jeske comes. We have Ms. Doss again admitting that with fifth graders, they were totally out of control. She couldn't manage them. We have Mr. Candelario, the security officer, saying again, I have to go in there 3 times a week to break up fights. I have to go 4 times a week just to take kids out that she can't manage and take them to other fifth grade teachers. And he said finally he had to station his chair right outside her door because he was called so frequently to that classroom. So I think the undisputed facts show that she wasn't placed in a third grade class because she couldn't handle it. She couldn't handle second grade, third grade, fifth grade, or seventh grade. Turning now to why would Jeske send Mr. Bonomino into the class? Well, she says, you know, he'd never been sent into a classroom before this early. Well, I wonder if a principal had ever been confronted with a teacher who from the first day that she was in the class couldn't even successfully call roll. She said that the kids wouldn't even respond to a roll call and ripped off her name tags from their desks. The second day, she said the kids weren't totally ignoring her. That's what she told the principal. My students are ignoring me. So Ms. Jeske said she sent A.P. Bonomino into the class because he had a good relationship with Ms. Doss. She admitted that in the past he had helped her, quote, a lot. And when he came in, he saw desks overturned, kids out of their seats yelling and cursing, and Ms. Doss admitted that what he observed was accurate, what he said was accurate. So I ask this court to find, as the district court did, that Ms. Doss wasn't discriminated against because she was Indian, she was non-renewed because she couldn't handle discipline.
What do we make of the board's position that somebody who's rated excellent can be in the 8th percentile of performance of teachers? It sounds rather Orwellian.
I don't know what to make of it. I would make of it that the principals obviously don't honestly evaluate teachers. That's what the statistics show. Not if half of your students aren't graduating, as they aren't in the Chicago public schools, then I think it's quite unusual that many of your teachers can be excellent or superior.
Has there been any thought given to renaming the school district the Lake Wobegon Public Schools, where everybody is above average, or in this case, everybody is excellent?
I'll take it back to the board and ask them.
Could you address the evidence of the comment that Judge Kaur described as blatantly discriminatory?
Yes, Your Honor. I don't believe that's direct evidence of discrimination because Principal Jeske didn't admit that she made her decision not to renew Doss based upon her Indian national origin.
Well, it's not a confession, but I understand the plaintiff's case here to be, in essence, what we've called a convincing mosaic case, where such comments can be taken into consideration, even if they're a little bit short of a confession of discriminatory intent.
Then we have to look at the timing of that remark. It was made in May of 06. May of 06, it was made right after Ms. Jeske saw that Doss observed her class for the second time. Ms. Jeske chose not to renew Ms. Doss in April of 07, more than 11 months later. So
right,
it's not
but,
either.
But we have it was part of a direct response to her evaluation, right?
Yes.
And the plaintiff has presented evidence that basically from that time forward, Principal Jeske was doing everything she could to try to get Ms. Doss out of the Casale school.
Most of that evidence relates to her opposing Ms. Doss coming back after the grievance. And the undisputed facts there show that she thought Ms. Doss was a temporarily assigned teacher, a TAT. She was told by HR that Ms. Doss was a TAT. She saw that she was in a position where she was covering for a teacher who was assigned to a charter school, and that's what TATs do. So she Ms. Das can't prove that that was a pretext. She thought Ms. Das was a tat, and that's why she was upset when she found that she was coming back, because if she'd known she was a pat, she should have, a probationary assigned teacher.
You're losing me. You've got private acronyms that normal people don't understand. If you would use real English words, you would help.
She thought she was a temporarily assigned teacher, because that's what HR told her, and HR is who's responsible for classifying teachers. She also thought she was a temporarily assigned teacher because she was in the position of a tenured teacher who was on loan to a charter school. Ms. Das can't prove that that is a pretext, because that was her belief, that she was a temporarily assigned teacher. If she'd known she was a probationary assigned teacher, she could have just let her go because she was unsatisfactory. So I think anyone would have been upset.
Then we would have had a non-renewal about a month after the go to the north side where the other Indian kids are, right, comment, which is pretty close in time.
I don't believe that's a remark about her national origin so much as about her skills. She had very unusual skills in that she had an Hindi endorsement.
I understand that argument.
Yes.
Why isn't that an appropriate argument to make to a jury instead of leaving that instead of making that decision on summary judgment?
Because I think that an evaluation isn't an adverse employment action, and that's what was happening at the time. When she was evaluating her, she said she wasn't inadequate. The renewal occurred more than almost a year later. Aren't any other questions?
Yes,
I'd ask you
a technical question. Is there such a thing as the Chicago Public Schools?
The statute says we're supposed to be sued as the Board of Education of the City
of
Chicago. Yes, Your Honor.
Chicago Board of Education. I mean, why didn't you move to either amend the caption of this case or dismiss it? Suing the Chicago Public Schools, which does not appear to be a juridical entity, just doesn't make any sense.
We'll do that in future cases. I apologize.
Anything further, Ms. Kaluza?
Counsel offers a number of facts, again, talking about the discipline problems that Ms. Das faced, but I just wanted to remind the court that we're here on summary judgment. It's really up to the jury to decide why Ms. Das was not renewed, and that should not have been cited on summary judgment. Furthermore, to your points about the excellent grading scale, it's just one more example of why it really should be left up to a jury to decide whether Ms. Das's excellent evaluations are or are not actually evidence of her excellence. Thank you, Your Honors.
Do you have any comment about whether the Chicago Public Schools is a juridical entity?
I was actually not involved with the case at the time that choice was made, so I'm not.
Not what I asked you. I asked you whether you have any view on the question whether the Chicago Public School is a juridical entity.
I do not.
Is any different from suing Dearborn Street?
I'm not sure, Your Honor.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement, and the court will be in recess.